Pastor Myers, Foucheri, you just shackle air. Mish Marilyn Crellin. I'm Marilyn Crellin, and I'd like to welcome you to this edition of Shackle Air. In Shackle Air this time, on Shackle Air and Keith Shaw, Navis Tackett's the Shack and Shaw Chit. What's happening in the coming week? An overview of just some of the events taking place here in the island. Tyne, a place, a house or a palace, Latham House in Lancashire and its association with Manx history. As Mark Yak hunts an Arachin TT and riding in the TT races. Praying the Keels 2024 started last Saturday. There's an event this evening, but it's limited spaces and fully booked, so we'll look at the final 2 days. Tomorrow, Friday the 24th of May, there's an evening stroll in Peel, meeting at Peel RNLI station at 7 o'clock. The walk will explore the religious heritage of St Patrick's Isle with words and music, and if the weather is kind, you'll be able to watch the sunset. It's a short stroll, only about a mile, but there's uneven and steep ground, including the steep steps up into Peel Castle. Finally, on Saturday the 25th of May, you can meet at St Catherine's Church in Port Erin at 10 o'clock for a service and light refreshments. Then there'll be a walk to Chibbuck Katrina, St Catherine's Well, out along the Truggan Road, up the Howe Road and then down through Glen Chass, down to Callow Point, then following the walkway to St Mary's Well in Chapel Bay, Port St Mary. It's about 4 miles, but add another mile if you're walking back to Port Erin again. There'll be stops for lunch and reflection. Don't forget to take a packed lunch and something to drink, of course, and it'll take about 5 hours altogether over minor roads and footpaths. Russian Heritage Trust has an exhibition in its premises in Bridston Street each day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, summer holidays in the south, which invites visitors to take a stroll down memory lane and recall some of the iconic sites and characters of the golden age of Manx tourism. The exhibition features colourful memories of the Trimeinach Baths, Smoky Joe's Cafe in Port St Mary, the Druid Circle Cafe at Paul Veal, and even the Chapel Bay deck chairs. The exhibition is on until the 1st of June with free entry, but of course donations are always welcome. And in the Manx Museum in Douglas, the Wild Man Nature Photography exhibition continues there until the end of June. Inspired by the Wildlife Photographer of the Year competition, it brings together a photographic showcase of the Isle of Man's wildlife and natural environment, captured by photography enthusiasts. It's free admission and open daily from 9:30 to 4:30. Tashin Clashtin Jane Luchtai Stanlach Benton Der Mannen by Kerhi Jegas Queg Treva Re Vannen as a Kastelin Kurit Dan Rijera Juan Stanlach as a Navlane Vagent Re Vannen Egan Kerry Re Inra J Sosten Inra Bolingbroke Lurg De Ve Ginu Shavestan Nari Richard Machan Air Captain Yeren Gawe Toshak De Ginu Shavestan Keru Inra Unseni Heaven Hammers Cummel Eakin Scansiol Ella, Uns Coot and Ree. Vajun Stanlach, Nanavak Jay Luktai, Mishen Sheevreshin Ilium, Ek Vavondation Virtus Estead and Luktai. Niai Fust June Stanlach, Rish Erinin Virchach, Isabella Latham. As Hammers and Virtus Via Vua Huggy Lee, Huggy Linius, and Ty Latham, Uns Lancashire. Ek Latham, Elesh Orly, Drau Castel, Foyach Horn, Uns Tren Main Eishach, Afa Castel Trogatas Clach, Currit Uns Inner Jay. Uns Kerhijeg, Kerfid, Ashejeg, Vishi and Luchtai Stanlach A, Der Lerach Fendelach, Forthen a Smoo. Despite the name of the Stanley family's home as Latham House in Lancashire, it had been developed into a substantial castle with 18 towers. It was surrounded by a wall 6 foot thick and a moat 8 yards wide. Its drawbridge was defended by a gateway tower, and in the centre of the site was a tall tower known as the Eagle Tower, connected with the coat of arms of the Stanleys with the eagle and child. It was such an imposing place that it was known as the Palace of the North. When Stanlach Muir, the 7th Earl of Derby, had declared for the king, Latham House was besieged by the Parliamentarians in March 1644, when it was occupied by Charlotte de Tremouille, the Countess of Derby. She refused to surrender, saying, "Although a woman and a stranger, divorced from my friends and robbed of my estate, I am ready to receive your utmost violence, trusting in God for protection and deliverance." Manx academic and author Jennifer Culley Drasko included the Siege of Latham as an exciting part of her novel Margaret of Baldoon. Since then, she's also written about Charlotte de Tremouille, and this is part of an interview with Jennifer at the time of the publication of the book, of which she tells us the title, and then something about Charlotte de Tremouille, including about the Siege of Latham.
Called Lady Derby, the Great Whore of Babylon, in inverted commas, because she wasn't, but she was called that. I do think she was a very unusual, forceful, outstanding woman. And in fact, at the time of the Civil War, her enemies, not only did they call her the Great Whore of Babylon, which was not a reflection on her morals, but on her religious principles. There was a local preacher who said, set you against Babylon, attack her with all your arrows and come and watch her walls fall down. And in the attack of Latham, people went out in their carriages to watch her walls fall down. Sadly, they didn't, because the garrison held them off. The garrison who had been smuggled in under cover of darkness by Lady Derby while she prolonged negotiations, which was a very clever thing to do. She got supplies and weapons and men in, so she had a garrison of 300 by the end, and they held them off. So the preacher was then rather crestfallen and sort of went home in his carriage, and everybody had to say, "There, there." But he was the first one who called the Great Whore of Babylon. Oddly enough, one of the few groups who have not got it all wrong was Steel Eye Span, because when they wrote their song, Babylon, I've been through all the words, and apart from the fact that they underestimated the size of the garrison, probably to make her look better, it is factual.
The king he did proclaim that the 7th Earl of Derby, James Stanley was his name, should resist the Scottish force bound for the Isle of Man. So he gathered up his fighters and obeyed the king's command. Well, the countess was of noble blood, though not of royalty, yet brave and as intrepid as any man was she. So the house became a fortress, with her good lord now gone. Her name was Lady Charlotte, but they called her Babylon. Together they did call for this one last royal stronghold in Lancashire to fall. So the garrison she strengthened, and the Eagle Tower was manned, and refusing all conditions, it was then the siege began.
Mm-hmm.
was in two good months when those rebels did retreat. They were cast out from the earthworks and driven to defeat. With dishonor and in shame, their siege came to an end. They were routed by a lady and 200 loyal men. So put yourselves in line against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow against the crown, and train the gunner's sights against Babylon, till the eagle tower does fall and the walls they are thrown. Put yourselves in line against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow against the crown, train the gunner's sights against Babylon.
That song by Steel Eye Span was written by Peter Knight, Maddie Pryor, Kenneth Nicol and Rick Kemp. Its full title is They Called Her Babylon. Jennifer mentions that the lyrics were accurate as to the events. To the halls of Latham House, the king he did proclaim that the 7th Earl of Derby, James Stanley was his name, should resist the Scottish force bound for the Isle of Man. So he gathered up his fighters and obeyed the king's command. The countess was of noble blood, though not of royalty, yet brave and as intrepid as any man was she. So the house became a fortress, with her good lord now gone. Her name was Lady Charlotte, but they called her Babylon. And the chorus. So put yourselves in line against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow against the crown, and train the gunner's sights against Babylon, till the eagle tower does fall and the walls they are thrown down. Both the Puritans and Fairfax together they did call for this one last royal stronghold in Lancashire to fall. So the garrison she strengthened, and the eagle tower was manned, and, refusing all conditions, it was then the siege began. 'Twas in two good months when those rebels did retreat. They were cast out from the earthworks and driven to defeat. With dishonour and in shame, their siege came to an end. They were routed by a lady and 200 loyal men. As Jennifer mentioned, the only bit that wasn't quite right there was that the garrison was of 300 men, not the 200 mentioned there. Perhaps, as Jennifer suggests, to make Charlotte de Trémoy's defiance all the more dramatic.
It is factual, and that's what I've tried to be, factual. Because I think, although she's not Manx, she's not an icon, and she would have sailed the Isle of Man, quite sure she would, she has many qualities. She was extremely devout, she was extremely consistent, she was courageous to quite a risky and desperate degree. And also, she never, after her exploits in the Civil War were concluded, she never referred to them again. And we have a great advantage when we study Lady Derby. But she, what women did at that period, because they couldn't go to war like men and go and conquer places, they networked, and they networked through correspondence. Her mother did it, because her father died at the age of 38, and her mother had to deal with the estates and the politics and the religion and everything else. And her step-grandmother, Louise de Coligny, the fourth wife of William of Orange, did it. They networked like mad with their correspondence and achieved great things through it. And Lady Derby, to the end of her life, corresponded with her sister-in-law, who was also her first cousin. And so we have all her correspondence, and they wrote about private things, about family things, and husbands and children, and they wrote about politics, they wrote about the life at court, which was also tied up with politics, they wrote about religion. And when things got too dangerous, or too intimate, they developed a code and they wrote to each other in code, which has been decrypted since. But we're very lucky in having that huge bulk of work that we can refer to. So it's just the facts. Not only did her enemies, some of her enemies, call her the Great Whore, but they also had a saying, which was, three women have ruined this kingdom. Eve, who let evil into the Garden of Eden, you know, Ianua Diabolus and the snake and all that, the serpent. Queen Henrietta Maria, who was meddlesome, prone to rages, had too much influence over King Charles I, was a papist, devout Catholic, and also French, which was enough to condemn her in the eyes of many English people at the time. And Lady Derby, she was the third in this little group of three, this tri-feminine, if you will. So she was a very redoubtable figure.
Dr. Jennifer Culey Drasko, talking about the book she published about Charlotte de Tremouille, who was the staunch heroine of the Siege of Latham House, which was brought to an end by the arrival of her relative, Prince Rupert, on the 27th of May 1644. With the end of the siege, Charlotte de Tremouille and her household came to join the 7th Earl of Derby, Castle Rushen. Carna Bline, to Ramslie Egypt by Lancashire Dusmanin, Hablue Trevan Tre Turasach Egevulch, as who a man in Tauzen and Achieti, by Nabalgian owns Lancashire, Treva Ullion and William and Cardi Sinurch and Dunt Sunderland Sarah. Ni Iva man and a kinjas shira sersen, de vudacher in imbach, dach chow jena erdvichen, je gerasaurius lunaston. As naihi je quegas feed, for abe main saury currit ebon, as bing egger, de her o stride a hacherton, hissen de kleiner tullu kieti dus manen, uns an smoker and towera. Uns naihi je gas shacht, heine hid ratchen tt ekummel, smi volden, as tana ratchen tt, a hurl yau kieti dus manen, uns an smoker and vlein, as ta grand prix vannen, and yinu and rud heathen, ek gerrit and imbach turasak tradishunach. As well as the TT races dating back to 1907 and the Manx amateur road races to 1923, which became the Manx Grand Prix in 1930, there's also the Southern Hundred, which was first run on the Boulogne circuit in 1955. In 1988, the Boulogne circuit also started hosting the pre-TT classic road races, and this year they'll be held tomorrow, Friday the 24th of May, Saturday the 25th, and Sunday the 26th. Then on Monday the 27th, it's the start of the practice and qualifying week for this year's TT races. At one time, that guaranteed that at least one venue in the island would be showing a film made in May 1935 and starring George Formby as a rider in the TT races, George Shuttleworth. The film was George Formby's first major film role after two minor successes and the first of a string of successful appearances for Associated Talking Pictures.
That first highly successful film for George Formby was, of course, No Limit. George Formby later recorded a studio version of a song used in the film No Limit, Riding in the TT Races, and he went into the studio to make that in November of 1935. The Regal Zonophone 78 shows it as being performed by George Formby and his ukulele with orchestra.
If there's one thing that I like, it's riding around on a motorbike. I'm a speed king when I once begin. I once won first prize 2 and 6. I know all the dirt track dirty tricks. I'm a marvel when I'm out to win. In a 50-mile race, I am the best. I ride 5 miles and skip the rest. So come along and see me riding in the TT races. Easier than hopscotch, beating all the top-notch aces.
In the film itself, George sings the song to a railway carriage crammed with passengers as they go from Wigan to Liverpool to catch the boat to the Isle of Man. A far lighter and cheerier version, this is how it sounded in the film.
Come along and see me riding in the TT races.
easier than hopscotch beating all the top notch aces. Once my pipe was hard to ride, but I didn't mind, until I found it hitched to scarabangs on behind. Everybody's scaring, I am such a daring rider. My inside rattles when I go the pace. My ribs begin to shake about, there's all my spare parts sticking out. So
come along, see me riding in the deep ray.
With me gears in reverse, the other way around, I'll finish first. So
come along, TV right in the TV rain.
George Formby from the 1935 film No Limit.
What may well have sunk the film in recent years is that George Formby performs one of the songs on the shore in Douglas as a black-faced minstrel. And then there's an exchange in which his landlady makes a blatantly racist remark. There's a point to the scene, with George having tried to raise cash for himself, but then having to donate it to charity, leaving him without money again despite his efforts. Cutting the whole scene would leave a gap in the film, but leaving it in brings with it that racism, which is probably why the film is no longer being shown. Shen Jerashachle and Keith Shaw as Son of Strishaw. So it's a double farewell as we come to the end of this programme and this series of Shachle. From me then, Beau Marilyn Crellin, Sledden You.